Okay. Open your Bibles up to Mark chapter 5. One thing I've noticed about a lot of spiritual things, a lot of different churches, and especially in the word faith, they try to make God complicated and try to make the things of faith complicated. And it's just not. It couldn't be any simpler. It just couldn't be any simpler. I want you to notice something. We're going to talk about some steps to faith today. But in Jesus' ministry on earth, he talked in terms that even the uneducated could understand. He talked about vineyards and orchards, sheepfold and shepherds. He illustrated spiritual verities in such a simple way that the common people could understand it. His message was never complicated, but rather clear and concise. If you're hearing a message and it's hard to understand, it's hard to try to figure out, it's hard to, you know, how are we going to make this? If it's hard, that's just not right. Jesus made it so simple. He made it so easy. And man has done absolutely everything they could possibly think of to make it hard. Yeah, the Christians aren't really too much different than the Jewish people were in the Old Testament. Jesus said, you guys will go to the ends of the earth to make one proselyte. You get him in, and then you weight him down with these laws that he can't bear, and then it doesn't do him any good. But here, Mark chapter 5, verse 25, a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things and many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garment, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. He said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." There's a lot of things to that, but it's real simple. When you break it down, it's real simple. I want you to notice something, though. This woman tried everything that she could think of. It says that she had spent all her money going to these different physicians. She was broke. Man could not fix her. Only God. And only when she turned her eyes to Jesus did she get fixed. This first step is to say it. Verse 28 in the text above says, "For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole." Someone had told this woman about Jesus. She knew that he was healing people. Having this information, what was her first step in receiving healing for herself? The first thing she did was to say it. But the first thing that happened was somebody told her about Jesus. Remember, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So somebody told her about Jesus, and it built faith in her heart, and then she confessed with her mouth what she believed. In the same way we get born again. That's the exact same way we get born again. We believe it in our heart, and then we say it with our mouth. And that's what she did. There is a God-word side and a man-word side to every battle. Every victory to everything that we receive from God, we have a part to play. There's something that we must do. God is not going to fail. If there is any failure, it has to be on our part. If we see to it that we do our part, then we can be sure that there will be an answer and a victory. Now, there was a teaching for a long time, and I bought into it for a long time. And it went something like this. There's nothing wrong with God. There's nothing wrong with God's Word. So if you're not getting answers to your prayers, there must be something wrong with you. So I spent a lot of time trying to fix what was wrong with me. But here's the thing you got to understand. Because of the new creation realities, what happened to you when you got born again, there's nothing wrong with you. You see that? There's nothing wrong with God. There's nothing wrong with His Word. And there is nothing wrong with you. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. In God's eyes, you're absolutely perfect. Now, we may not be using the keys that He gave us. There's where the problem lies. And sometimes we may be taking the wrong key and trying to apply it to the wrong place. See, it's important for us. The Bible does tell us to study to show ourselves approved, rightfully dividing the word of truth. So we have to take the right keys in the right place. You know, you certainly wouldn't try to cast out a devil when somebody needs just healing. Although people try that trick all the time. And sometimes, you know, people are praying the prayer of faith over somebody that needs the devil cast out. They're trying to put a square peg in a round hole, and it won't work. So we got a first part here, a first step, is to say it. This woman... See, here's where we have these choices. She could have made a negative statement or a confession instead of a positive one. And that would have been what she would have received. She could have said that there wasn't any use, that she had suffered so long and been to so many doctors. She could have said that perhaps it was best for her to die. But she did not speak negatively. She spoke positively. She said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And it came to pass, for we can have what we say. See, there's right there. The minute she heard about Jesus, that faith came into her heart, and then she had an opportunity to make a choice with the words of her mouth. Every single one of us gets faced with the same choices. When the word of faith strikes your heart, are you going to say, "This is for me. This is mine"? Or are you going to say, no, you know, I've known so many people that have tried that word of faith stuff and it just didn't work for them. That's just not true. That is a lie straight from the pit of hell. They may have attempted a couple of things, but when you really focus on something and you really put your time to it and you really put effort to it, you really get on something and you stay with it, it's going to happen. Now here's the thing. This woman, she could have heard the word of, she could have heard a word about Jesus, got it in her heart, and then she could have said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole, and kept on sitting in her easy chair. And nothing would have changed. See, sometimes you got to step out like Peter did, jump out of the boat and take off. Just get moving. Sometimes you got to put feet to your faith. So the first step in writing our own ticket with God is to say it. Here's the thing. If we're defeated, we are defeated with our own lips. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 2 tells us that we are snared with the words of our mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. That's a Bible truth. People are snared with the words of their own mouth. Constant negative confessions about themselves, about their families, about their jobs, about their whatever it is they're dealing with, will cause them to have constant bad reflections. On the other hand, a constant positive confession about these things will have us to have good things happen. I don't think people understand just how important it is to control the words of their mouth. I heard somebody call this place a desert again today. It just drives me nuts. This is not a desert. This is a high Sierra. A desert? They have those in Wyoming. And you run one cow to a section. And sometimes you have to help her. You have to feed her. And it has sand dunes. This is a beautiful place. And it's been abused by the words of people's mouths for a long time. This can be even a better place. You know, we can keep on getting moisture all winter long. We could get snow. We could make snowmen. The second step to this writing our own ticket with God is to do it. It wouldn't have done this woman any good whatsoever if, when she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole, if she hadn't acted upon it also. Our actions either defeat us or they put us over. According to our actions, we either receive or are kept from receiving. So that woman with the issue of blood said it. She acted on it. She touched his clothes. Here's the thing. She didn't just run down there and just touch his clothes. I mean, that's what ultimately happened. But here's the thing. Can you imagine the thoughts that must have been going through her head? Because remember, there was a lot of people around Jesus when this happened. The temple, you know, there was a lot of very important people down there, Pharisees and Sadducees. leaders of the synagogue, some people that knew the law. And this woman knew the law. She knew that she could not be in the presence of a man with the issue of blood. And if she got caught in the presence of a man with the issue of blood, they could legally stone her. Here's the thing about when you get stoned, they would throw you in a pit. And the law, according to the law, you had to pick up a rock. It couldn't be too small because it had to hurt. So it had to be a big rock. But it couldn't be too big because they didn't want you to die too fast. So it had to be a rock that was big enough to hurt you but not kill you, so that your death was slow and painful. That was according to the law. So this woman had a moment of faith. She believed in her heart that if she could just touch his clothes, she'd be whole. Then she had to act on it. I mean, she had to take the risk of looking foolish. She had to take the risk of not doing what her doctor said. She had to take the risk of not doing what somebody else said. She had to take the risk of going down there amongst all those men. And you know, she had to touch several of them to get to Jesus. But she said, no matter what, she acted on her faith. Sometimes people really want to do something. They believe it. They confess it. But when it comes time to stepping out, they lock up. The next part is to receive it. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Jesus said, who touched me? Jesus knew that virtue or power had gone out of him. So the woman, first of all, said it. She confessed her faith. Then she acted upon that faith, reached out and touched the master. Then step number three, she received her healing. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Notice that the feeling and the healing followed the saying and the acting. Most people want the feeling and the healing first, then they think they'll have the saying and the doing. But it doesn't work that way. You have to have the saying and the doing first, then you will have the feeling and the healing. You get that? You got to believe that you receive it before you see it. Too many people want to wait until they feel it or see it before they believe they receive it. And it's just not gonna happen. They got the attitude, I'll believe it when I see it. You ain't gonna see it. You just, well, stay at home because it's not gonna happen. Jesus perceived that power had gone out of him. The whole world has become concerned about nuclear bombs. Have you noticed that? The whole world is worried about a nuclear war. But these bombs that haven't been exploded in the atmosphere because they release radioactive material into the atmosphere, power that cannot be seen or felt, but power that is deadly and dangerous. You know there's an unseen power at work in earth that is either deadly or dangerous? It's the power that is good. And that power is always present everywhere. This power can deliver from anything that binds or hurts us. The devil wants to get your focus on something that will cause you to be afraid. The devil wants to get your focus on something that will cause you to doubt God's word. The devil just wants to get you distracted. See, here's the thing. When Peter was walking on the water, he's looking at Jesus. just walking along. He didn't start sinking until he got his eyes off of Jesus, started looking at the wind and the waves. The funny thing about these lion tamers is they get this lion in a cage, and this lion could maul this guy at any given time. The lion is far stronger and faster and meaner than that lion tamer. But that lion tamer picks up a stool that has four legs, four focal points. He gets that lion looking at those four focal points, and if he looks like he's getting a little bit focused, he's got a whip. You know, crack that whip, and that lion is always distracted. He's always distracted from that guy. That's the same thing that the devil does to Christians. A Christian will get focused in on something, and then all of a sudden, the phone rings, or the doorbell rings, or you got these bills you got to pay, or you got to go to work, or the kids got something, or there's a game, or there's an event, or there's something, and all of a sudden your focus is no longer on the Word, but it's on all these other things. Not all these other things are not bad, necessarily, but it's just things that will keep you distracted. Look at the fourth part in verse 33. Tells us that the woman with the issue of blood acknowledged what she had done. She told him all the truth. Jesus wants to tell it so that others might receive. So did you get that? When you have something good happen to you, you have a testimony. People sometimes don't really understand just how important testimonies are. When you get a healing in your body, you should, that's an opportunity as a praise report. You should say, "Yes, I got a healing." Even if it's some little thing that you may think it's insignificant, maybe you got a raise at work. Maybe something good happened to you. Maybe somebody just showed up, gave you some food. Maybe somebody just showed up and gave you some money. Maybe you got a new job. Maybe something really good happened to you. Maybe you got healing in your body. Maybe you got set free from something or got a revelation. That's a time to say, "Yeah, I got a praise report. I had this good thing happen to me today." And then tell it. Why would that be so important? Because Pete's sitting here saying, "You know, I got a healing in my body. And this is what happened, and this is how God set me free. He made it all better." Well, Butch, sitting over here with the same kind of challenge, he could go to thinking, if he'll do it for Pete, I mean, he's a rat. If he'll do it for Pete, he's got to do it for me. We just read that in the Bible. The woman with the issue of blood heard about Jesus. How did she hear about Jesus? Somebody gave her their testimony. Somebody told her about the good things that Jesus did for them. Or maybe they told her about the good things that Jesus did for their friend. When somebody starts hearing stuff like that happen, and they start thinking, "You know, maybe I can get mine. What's going on?" Faith is being struck in their heart. That's why it's important to tell people about the good things that Jesus did for you. You're not acting in pride. You're being a witness to Christ. So the first step in writing our own ticket is to say it. The fourth step is to tell it. There's a difference. At first, the woman said what she believed. Then she told what happened. So we have to say some things in faith before we ever receive them from God. People say the wrong things because they believe the wrong thing. So when we start believing the right thing and start saying the right things, then that is what they will have. Our believing has to change. And it gets changed by the Word of God, by a testimony. Then once we start believing right, then our confession will become right, and then our world will change. Our circumstances will change. We're not going to get through the next part of this, so we'll just stop right there, because the next part will be here till 7:30. So, but do you see that? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we hear it, we get it in our heart. We've got to get it in our ears first, or our eyes, so we can get it in our heart, so we can get it in our mouth. That's meditation. So we hear the Word of God. That causes us to believe, then we say what we believe. Then we act on it. That's where the rubber meets the road. I know this is the hard part. Sometimes you may wake up and feel like the whole world has crashed on your body and you don't think you can take another step. And you got to say, by His stripes I was healed. And then take a step. Get out of bed, go try to do something, get a drink of water, just anything. Even if you got to lay right back down. But get up and do something. Give God something to work with. Sometimes people want to sit in that chair and hope all of a sudden that God just gives them all the strength, all the pain-free bliss that they need to get up and walk, but that's not the way it works. God has already given it, but you're going to have to get up and act on it. Get moving. Do something. People want to believe for big-time jobs, but they refuse to flip hamburgers. You know, they want to believe for a lot of things, but they don't want to put on any leather gloves. They just want to be at the top of the ladder now. It's just not the way it works. God will bless the work of your hands, but you got to get your hands busy. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for blessing us. We thank you for being mindful of us, and we thank you for protecting us. Father, we thank you that your grace and your mercy is fresh every day for us. We thank you for Holy Spirit, who is always here to teach us and guide us. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.